Hello everyone, welcome to TechMinds podcast. The change ushered in by the pandemic has ripples reaching far into the future. Today, we are going to discuss the role of technology in shaping the post-pandemic healthcare system with our guest, Dr. Vikram Venkateswaran. He is a strategy consulting professional with about 2 decades of experience in healthcare, especially in the areas of consulting, digital health, and healthcare public policy. He is the founder and editor of Healthcare India, a think tank passionate about building futuristic models for increasing access, quality, and outcomes. He serves on various industry committees on healthcare and has published papers on a wide range of topics from patient experience, blockchain, to public health. Thank you, Dr. Venkateswaran, for joining us on this podcast on the burning topic of technology in healthcare. The insights shared by you would add value to a white paper. So, Dr. Vikram, the first question to you is with respect to healthcare and digital, like we are seeing a fundamental shift in healthcare. So, what essentially has changed in 2020?
Okay. So, Harsha, that's a very good question. And if you look at any value system or any industry system, you have to figure out that who is at the center of that value chain, right? And in case of healthcare, across the globe, and much so in India, the person at the center of the value system is the patient and the patient party. So if you ask me what has fundamentally changed in India, it is the expectation of patient and patient parties have changed considerably. That's number one. And that is your biggest driver for digitization, right? And digital transformation. Number two, obviously, you know, COVID came in at the right time. I think today, if you look back 5 years from now and say, oh, what are the big trigger for digital transformation in healthcare, we'll say it was COVID-19. Because it was a big transformation for digital transformation, not only in healthcare, but in industries like education, right? Because education went online. Harvard has spent this entire semester online, right? So the first time in the history of Harvard, they've not had any contact for classes. Similarly, if you look at our telemedicine consultations, they've gone through the roof, right? Almost every organization is doing, every hospital is doing. So that is the second thing. You know, a black swan event like COVID-19 is also a fundamental shift from what people were planning. What was to happen 5 years from now has happened in a year. The third big shift is the onus of the individual to care more about his health. So now, if you'd say the market earlier for healthcare systems was patient, today it's everybody. Because now my focus is not on falling ill. If I go to a hospital now in COVID times, there are chances I might get infected with something else. So now the digital transformation is being driven by 3 factors. I want better experience, patient experience. There's a black swan event that's happening in form of COVID-19. And third, the individual has started thinking about his health more holistically from a preventive healthcare point of view. And that is leading to a massive transformation. And there are organizations that are benefiting on all 3 spectrums, right? So I think those are the 3 fundamental shifts. And obviously everything else that's happening. So patient experience is a big driver. It's a big driver of digital. I want to book my appointments on a mobile app. I want to get there and before I get there, I want to know everything about the doctor. Where has he studied? What has he done? How many years of experience he has? When I get there, I don't want to be waiting because I've already taken an appointment. I want a very short wait time. Then I want a care model by which my repeat, I don't want to go and see the doctor. I can do it online. I can have my medicines delivered. So that care delivery model has changed, right? My X-rays, my CT scan, all available at one place so that I don't have paper records. I have digital records. Not last but not the least, it's creating some very innovative care models, you know, by which even in a small town, if a patient wants to consult a top surgeon of a city, he can do it through digital transformation, right? He can consult the doctor and the local care at that site is being provided by the local hospital. But the expertise is coming from a very large hospital like a city. Last but not the least, in care delivery model itself and new innovative models itself, thanks to AI and machine learning, now I have the expertise that probably top doctors globally would have provided. So if you look at systems like Watson, now my diagnosis can be done by one of the best doctors in the world because all the cases that they have done is being fed into the machine. So four key drivers, if you ask me, but it is all starting with us. We as Indians have started demanding better services from even our healthcare system, and they are responding to it. And I think we have been greatly aided by things like COVID and also our own focus on health to take care of our health better. And last but not the least, we want global, we want the best. It's not that we are satisfied with whoever is providing. So new innovative care models are coming in.
Very insightful points, Dr. Vikram.
COVID has really exposed the fault lines in healthcare system and has leapfrogged at least 4 to 5 years of development. Also, you mentioned that the center of the change is the patient and the patient experience.
Where we had to be.
We have radically shifted from a curative treatments towards a preventive healthcare model.
Very interestingly,
everyone has now become more responsible towards his own health, and that is a radical shift.
Everyone has
excellent points. Thank you, sir.
Care about their health, and the focus has again been on let's prevent.
Moving on to the next question, sir.
As before, you know, it gets
technology has changed a lot of things.
That's a crux.
Do you see its most significant contribution is in its capability to facilitate innovative delivery models, which are unconstrained vis-a-vis the traditional ones, and is the area in which technology is adding maximum value and driving change?
Yeah, I think so. If you look at the way the healthcare system has evolved over the last 10-20 years, I think technology has played a very big part in India. Right from getting high quality diagnosis to having clinical decision support and HIS systems, where the patient care can be documented, can be researched at least to a certain extent within the hospital system. And also the advances made in med devices and pharma have greatly benefited the overall healthcare system. That's why if you see our life expectancy right from 1947, on an average, we had 5 years of life expectancy every 10 years. So we moved from somewhere around 40, 42 years to almost 70 years today. And we'll continue to grow in that. Now, I think the biggest change that is going to benefit India, and we are already seeing the effects of that, is the advent of mobility. The smartphones penetration in India, and also thanks to certain telecom providers like Reliance and Airtel, and not to forget BSNL, the coverage both for network and data in India is significant. That means today, at my primary point of care in rural India, I have technology available for me. Yes, a lot of work still needs to be done on the process, and obviously imparting this life skill to people, especially the ASHA workers and Anganwadi workers who are the front line of our healthcare defense. But technology is there and it is available and it's ready to use. There have been multiple pilots done by organizations like PATH, which have worked extensively in the nutrition area, where they have used mobile smartphones and smart apps to kind of track the nutrition levels, the personal health, the hygiene of a vast segment of the population. And this is a way to go forward. Last but not the least, I think the government's ability to initiate very large cashless schemes, which is on the backbone of technology. If you look at Ayushman Bharat today, we have crossed more than 1.5 crore medical surgeries and procedures being carried out totally in a cashless manner across the country, integrated through a central system. That is itself a big achievement. And what now we are left to do is connect all these systems together. The government has already given the standards for things like AI, ML, for National Digital Health Blueprint are already out. The India stack is almost ready. In about 3-4 months' time, it will be operational. And then you will see a massive shift in the way longitudinal data and electronic health records are available for Indian citizens. I think that will turn the dynamics firmly in favor of getting care going from, you know, more of a you know, evidence-based medicine like we practice today, where I have diagnosis and I treat a patient, to a futuristic model where it's more preventive, where I practice more, you know, I think that what we will do is we'll go from evidence-based to value-based, that what is the value added to the patient and to his life story, to more preventive care system. Last but not the least, Harshad, you know, the key for this, why this is important is, you know, there are two very important factors for rural indebtedness in India. One is the daughter's marriage. I think the government is doing its best to eradicate that, where the daughter is not looked at as a liability, but, you know, more as an asset who can learn, educate herself, grow and improve the society. The other part is healthcare. You know, these two factors, if they're removed, the amount of debt in rural India will significantly come down. So I think healthcare, in technology in healthcare, is playing a very important role. But what needs to be done is the government regulations, the standards have to be adopted. Some integration has to be done right from primary care to tertiary care. And finally, the process and getting the human capital to a level where they can manage the care for these people, as that investment has yet to be made.
Profound insight, sir. Technology has played a vital role in a country like India and has added tremendous amount of value. Also, that policy and regulations would play a cardinal role in evolution of healthcare in the coming years. Thank you, sir. My next question to you, sir, is traditionally, we've seen that every clinic and hospital has survived irrespective of the care they're delivering. With the rise of new expectations and the power of digital, do you see that tomorrow they're going to be winners and losers?
Yeah, I think the winners and losers are already out, if you ask me. I was just talking to my cousin a few days ago, and he recovered from COVID in November. And I got a very detailed account of what all he went through. And the role played by the government, especially the state government here in Karnataka, and the role of BBMP, which is our local municipal body, was fantastic. They are not, you know, we always look at the government, we feel government doesn't do anything, but they played a very active role. And what I understand from him is a lot of that effort was done by healthcare workers. So the first big change that has already happened is, we will see in India a lot more healthcare workers coming to the forefront of healthcare. And they will be strongly supported by a very very robust technology backbone, right? So the data that we have created over the years and the insights that are being produced by the data will fuel a huge wave of healthcare professionals who are not doctors, but will be in a good position to advise you, to guide you, and help you choose the right options for better health. So the winners will be those who have data and who have the tools and methodologies to extract insights of the data and use that insights in the way they deliver care. Those will be the winners, right? Clearly. The losers will be those who have the data but don't know how to extract, or have extracted but don't know how to change the SOPs, right? And the worst category will be those who have none of these. They don't even have data. They don't have the means. So they will eliminate it. They'll be eliminated very fast. But I see a lot of smaller organizations, smaller clinics, smaller nursing homes paying much more attention to the data they have and trying to get some insights out of it, even though if they're very rudimentary methods of getting business intelligence out of it. They're spending a lot of time on things like patient experience. They're trying to build relationships. They are trying to establish the local community. And in COVID, that came out very strongly because the first person you go to is a local doctor. Having said that, you will also see a lot of non-traditional healthcare organizations take a giant leap forward. And these are organizations that have your data in some form or the other. Right? I'll give two examples. One is an organization like Healthify Me, which does a lot of nutrition-based tracking, the nutrition tracking app. They have so much data about what you're eating, what you're doing, what you're working out, that they're in a very strong position to guide you. Similarly, an organization like YourFit has so much data on your workout status, how many days you worked out, where you worked out, what did you do. So I think these organizations will also come into the healthcare ecosystem because they have a lot of data, they have ability to extract data, and they will have the ability to give you nudges as to what you should be doing. Have water, you know, 13 glasses of water, or walk 10,000 steps. And that itself will lead to a paradigm in which you are taking care of your health. I think similar organizations will sprout up in rural India, in other parts of India, and soon you will see that they are becoming a very important part of the ecosystem. So the biggest losers in this whole game, I am afraid, will have to be the hospitals that don't change, that are rigid right now, and say, okay, we know how to deliver care. Because at the end of the day, health is a very individualistic concept. You know, it's every health, individual, your definition of health and my definition of health may not match. Right? It's very cultural, it's very social, it's how we are brought up. It has a lot of connotations. There's genetics, right? So at the end of the day, whatever empowers you to take care of your health, such an organization will benefit. And those organizations that keep saying, hey, you keep coming to me, Harshad, I'll take care of you. After a while, you'll say, this is not a good experience. Why should I keep going to you? I'm spending my money, so I want something better. And that is what will cause the problem for a lot of hospitals today.
Very enlightening insight, sir. Data gives a lot of power to institutions, and those who harness it in delivering good healthcare would definitely be the winners. And those who are indifferent to data as well as patient experience would have a lot of difficult time in future. So in the same line, sir, I would like to ask you that keeping apart data and analytics, do you see the paradigm of seeing patients as customers and focusing on patient experience as a core differentiator for healthcare providers?
Correct. I mean, see, let's look at it in a very different way, right? Today, they say that India has 40 million diabetics. And let's assume 40 million more are diabetic, but they don't know, or they are on the margins. So our market size is defined as 80 million diabetics. But in reality, your market size is much bigger because almost everybody who's there, and diabetes is a very dangerous disease. You know, it's not a disease, it's a condition. It's more like a disorder which ruins your connective tissue. It spoils your eyes, affects your kidneys, affects your immunity. Today in COVID, you see a lot more diabetics getting affected. If you have diabetes and then you get COVID, then your recovery is slower and your mortality is higher. So shouldn't that be something that every Indian is concerned about, right? 1.2 billion Indians or 1.3 billion Indians are concerned about. So the way to change the market or how the opportunity lies is to stop treating an individual like a patient and looking at him like a consumer of healthcare services. He consumes healthcare services in order not to get hospitalized. I think that's a foundational statement we have to like establish. So my objective is not to go to the hospital, right? And it's very counterintuitive. If you ask me, how will hospitals make money? You're not coming to me, how will I make money? No, you will. You will, because if I avoid admission, there will always be emergency cases. There'll be road accidents. There are emergencies. There are, you know, heart attacks that happen and people need hospitalization. But if I can avoid an hospitalization, I think what I will do in that case is I will make sure that I'm in touch with my patient, and the patient also has to be in touch with me constantly in this journey. That means my touch points increase. My touch points increase, so the need for me to do one massive intervention at one point of time reduces. Right? So I'm with you constantly. In order to enable that, I need a digital backbone. Right? So as a consumer of healthcare, like I consume movies or news every day, I consume healthcare every day. But I'm doing it over a period of time, and I'm not going to the hospital. The healthcare is coming to me in my phone or in my mobile phone or in my laptop, and it's constantly, I'm in touch with my doctor. I'm in touch with my health worker. I am getting information. I'm getting medicines delivered to me, you know? So now the whole paradigm changes where I go more from a, you know, intervention-based medicine to preventive medicine. When I go to preventive medicine, then the other stakeholders also become important. You know, government is important. Government has to tell me in this local area what is spreading. drains are not blocked. If drains are blocked, then okay, there is chances of having, you know, malaria and chikungunya and all of those. So the paradigm shifts. When we shift the paradigm from a patient to a consumer, and the consumer is expecting better experience, so you go from patient experience to consumer experience, right? And the market size expands, like, and in India is a very large country, and just imagine if everybody takes their health very seriously, I think healthcare will be the most profitable business to be in, because everybody's consuming healthcare day in and day out. And so we change from a point in time intervention to a continuous interaction, a system of continuous interaction. And that's how I think I see the paradigm shift. And the core differentiator will be your effectiveness, right? So now, instead of saying how many patients came and got admitted, we will be measured on how many patients didn't come. So in this district or in this city, what is the hospitalization rate? And if it's lower, that means the healthcare system is doing a great job, right? And then they will have to be compensated. So you will see some change in compensation also. There might be health plans. They have it in the US already, where if you don't seek admission, there is benefit to you. Premium goes down. You get additional benefits. So I will try my best to keep myself fit and healthy so that I can get additional benefits from my health plan. Government could also be a big beneficiary here, because government is providing most of the services. So government can take steps and to make sure that your hospitalization is lower or your intervention is much lower. So I think we will see that foundational transformation already happening. We already see steps of it, right? Because we see people now taking much more care than they were like 5 years ago. After COVID, I will see another big boost to this paradigm. And this is how I envision that the hospitals will change, you know, their function. They will go from this organization that is one stop for providing care once upon a time to an organization that partners with you throughout. And I would see a much lesser, smaller hospitals, specialized on maybe, you know, emergency care, palliative care. Your OT will remain as an operation theater, as a function will remain. But a lot of the other wards will just disappear because you don't need them anymore.
Fabulous insight, sir. We consume a lot of things, entertainment, information, and technology is allowing us to consume health as a service. It is also enabling the paradigm shift from acute care to towards preventive care, with a lot of touch points which help us in bettering our health and adding value for every player in the ecosystem. Now, moving on in the same vein, sir, my next question to you is, like, if you see other industries, everyone is pursuing digital transformation quite aggressively. But since healthcare is a conservative and closed and highly regulated ecosystem, how long do you think the companies, the institutions have to go digital as the industry is also getting highly competitive?
Yeah, I think it'll take about 5 to 10 years more. And I'll give you my reason. Right, right now, the biggest challenge that hospital has, and a lot of people who have never worked in the hospital or don't understand the dynamics there, will say, hey, we should have done it yesterday. But that's not going to happen. And it's not because of the doctors, right? It's not that the doctors are resisting change. I think your biggest challenge today comes with the way data is stored in hospitals. So we have to understand that first. See, a lot of the when you are hospitalized, a lot of diagnosis happens. A lot of tests are done. Your CT scan, your ultrasound, your X-rays. The way they are stored, the storage mechanism, storage strategy, the data strategy is based on compression and taking less time to store, less space to store. The storage is expensive. Storage is a very expensive value proposition for a hospital. You have PAC system, which is picture archival systems, where all of them, you know, they compress and store. Now, the challenge with that in context of today is these storage systems, these data strategies, your data governance was never built for machine learning. It was built for storage and regulatory compliance. Today, if I have to train a machine on an X-ray that is compressed, he will get all the parameters wrong because the vital functions, their locations have changed. And when the machine goes back and looks at it from in a real X-ray, at that point of time, it will make a mistake. It can do a lot of binary searches. Yes for TB, no for TB. Is there some incidence of cancer? No cancer. But beyond that, it can't do. It can do thermal mapping, but beyond that, it can't make a very calculated guess. And your core of digital transformation is using data to train the system. Otherwise, I mean, what is the point of having a digital system if you can't use the data, right? So a lot of the diagnosis, the clinical decision support, and the ability to exchange information between systems and between hospital systems, that doesn't exist today. And that is your true digital transformation. So I think most hospitals have about 5 to 10 years to get this right. Maybe shorter. I'm not saying, I mean, I never underestimate the Indian willpower to get things done, right? We are very good at getting things done. So maybe shorter, but there needs to be some time, right? Number two, your interoperability is a big issue in India. Continues to be an issue globally, and it's a big issue in India. Siemens system will not talk to a Philips system, right? Apollo system will not talk to Manipal system. We have to find a solution, and that's where the India stack, I believe, will play a major role. Right? That's your second reason why it takes time. Number three, your SOPs in hospitals are based on experience. The senior most designs the SOPs, and he says, this is the way I do it. So NABH and others have brought in some degree of standardization, but it is not protocol driven. So that means you'll have to document these SOPs. Right, and that takes time. Last but not the least, any digital transformation program requires a very robust change management strategy. Today, without change management, digital transformation fails. Right, so putting in the right data governance, data strategy in place, putting in the right interoperability, obviously facilitated by the government, making sure that your SOPs are written as how you would want them to, and putting that change management paradigm will take about 5 to 10 years. It will not be instantaneous. True digital transformation will take time. Yes, you will have mobile apps. You will have an automated appointment generator. You will have a lot of information available. But that's if you read a Leading Digital by George Westerman. It's a very, very good book, and I recommend anybody who follows digital transformation to read it. So he talks about 4 quadrants. He talks about the fashionistas. The fashionistas, digital fashionistas, are those who do window dressing or digital. On top, there's digital, but if you go inside, you struggle because the front end and the back end are not connected. To be a digital master, right, if I want to build Asian Paints among the hospitals, will take time. Asian Paints invested in SAP in 1970s, right? They had a SAP system in place in the 70s. They had an ERP in 70s. They've been collecting data since 70s. They know much more about their paint market than anybody else. How many hospitals are in that position? Not too many. So it will take time, but they will get there. You know, when the beauty of COVID is some of our brightest minds have started chasing healthcare. And now you'll see all these guys focus their attention on these problems to be solved. And I think in about 5 to 10 years, maybe less, hopefully, we will have truly digitized healthcare systems in India, which will be better than most in the world.
Your points have highlighted a very, very crucial aspect that it's not that COVID has brought forth the surge in mHealth applications. The applications and other things have been there, but they have not been effective in delivering the kind of care because, as you rightly pointed out, there is no interoperability. There is the regulatory systems are not as robust. The information sharing is not there. If I have an app, it doesn't speak to my hospital. So because of all these, the information highways are broken. The exchange doesn't happen. The collaborative, synergetic approach is not there. So I think these points you've highlighted are pose a very serious challenges that we have to work out.
Correct. No, just one thing before we close. I was reminded of a story that I was reading yesterday. In 1979, there was a very senior scientist in ISRO who was given the mandate of launching SLV, Rohini satellite. I mean, a satellite into space. With that, India would have breached the space barrier and would have created a big impact in the world. Unfortunately, the launch did not go according to plan, and we spent 20 crores on that launch, and it fell into the Bay of Bengal. Unfortunately or fortunately, the management, the system, Satish Dhawan, who was the chairman of ISRO those days, he supported the scientist. And in 1980, they launched the SLV-3, which led to the Rohini satellite getting into orbit in India. What was important was not that we failed. What was important that within a year, we tried again. For a country like India, that is a remarkable achievement in the 70s. So 79, they failed. 80, we tried and we entered the space club. We were one of the few countries in the world that had the capability to put a satellite into space. And since then, we have gone on. Of course, the scientist was none other than our late president, APJ Abdul Kalam. And one of the things he writes is that we will fail. You know, when we try to build this healthcare system, when we try to do digital transformation, we will fail, we will make mistakes. But the idea is to learn from them and build an even stronger system. So you asked me earlier, who will be the winners and losers? I think the winners will be that who will not be afraid to fail. They will fail many times. They will get into trouble. They will get bad press. People will say what is happening. But they will admit their mistake, roll up their sleeves and try again. And those will become the big players. Well, all of us know that organizations are not built in a day. You know, go through a process. So I think that is a very inspirational story, if you ask me. And I think Indian healthcare system is there. It all depends on who's ready to take those big gambles and not be afraid to fail.
We have to try, and failure should be a stepping stone in the success.
Correct.
I think, yeah. And probably moving forward as AIM Health and things like move forward, there would be breaches, there would be failures, there would be bad press. Excellent perspective, but that's the way we have to move forward. Thanks a lot, sir. It has been absolutely enlightening discussion with you. And we hope that we would connect again on and continue the discussion on a more
fantastic
cutting
point,
edge,
sir. Failure and breaches would happen and would be a part of the way we evolve.
Listen, would definitely
thank you, sir, for
insights,
such an enlightening discussion. Thank you for speaking with us and
again,
adding
sir,
tremendous amount of value to this upcoming paper on technology and healthcare.
Thank you for having me here, and I wish you success with this publication, as well as hoping that your message reaches far and wide within India and also abroad. Okay, bye.
Thank you for patiently listening to TechMinds podcast for our upcoming white paper on the role of technology in shaping healthcare. You are listening to Dr. Vikram Venkateswaran. This is Ashit Bajpayee. Stay tuned for more insightful podcasts on cutting-edge topics from TechMint Technology. Visit www.techmint.com.